Welcome to the WTS podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. Today, you'll hear a conversation I had with Gretchen Cawthon of Left Right Labs. And for full disclosure, she was a previous group coaching client of mine, but I think her story is going to be really useful for those of you trying to systemize your business, because she was really successful and she's got some great ideas in this interview, like how to hold your team accountable when they're virtual and how to even track their time properly and tie it to a task. I think that's a pretty neat technique. Also, she had some techniques about how to clarify your communication and an example of how she saved 20 hours a month of her time personally. And she didn't even need to delegate. And it wasn't even a high-tech solution. And so what I love about that example, and you'll hear it in the podcast, is just the way to take something that's organic, that you're good at doing, that you've done a lot, and then to see it differently using the systems mindset, and then to isolate how it's done and to identify the purpose of what you're trying to achieve, and then to come up with a checklist for herself, and then how to save that time. And as you can imagine, any company that systemizes themselves is, she ends up with more time. Her team has more time, ultimately more money, and ultimately they're growing really rapidly. And how do you grow rapidly when you're already maxed out, right? That's always the issue, is people come to me and they're too busy, they're out of time, and this is the solution. And so I hope those of you, whether you have a traditional business or a virtual business, and her business is an online business, how you can take the same techniques and same approach as she did and then apply it and then see the results. So hopefully you'll be inspired and you'll be able to take some notes, and I'll start it right now. Well, welcome to today's podcast. And today we have Gretchen Cawthon with Left Right Labs, or is it Right Left Labs?
It's Left Right.
Left Right Labs. Okay. And she's going to be telling us how she systemized her business. And hopefully you all listening to this will get some ideas about how a regular business owner can take what they have and build systems and processes and scale. So to get started, Gretchen, why don't you tell us about yourself? Why don't you tell us about your business, how you got started, and give us that story?
Sure. I have been using a computer since the seventh grade. Started programming in the seventh grade, found out I was really good at it, loved it. That was way back, and I'm going to date myself, way back when you plugged your computer into your TV and you saved all of your programs on a cassette. Wow. So that was back in the 80s. So I knew I was good at programming. I actually got a music degree in college. Music business, was going to go in and do all that kind of thing. And that's when Napster came out and mm-hmm. totally demolished the music business as we knew it at that point. And so I kind of was like, I'm not sure I really want to do this. I'll switch gears. And long story short, I ended up doing some freelance web development. Wanted to stay at home, you know, be with my kids and have a flexible job. So I started doing web development. Did that kind of freelance for several years. Was working with my best friend who was a graphic designer. And we would just literally take jobs as they came and, you know, do kind of a part-time thing. And I built a website called Girls Can't What. And it got really popular, and I all of a sudden found myself with more web design requests than I could handle, more work than I knew what to do with. And so we scaled up, kept working. And in 2014, we decided, hey, we're actually, you know, making money at this. We're doing pretty good. Let's incorporate, make this a full-time business. So my best friend and business partner, we basically tied the knot in business world and said, we're going to become partners and we're going to have this S Corp and we're going to do this thing. And so we did that in 2014. And right away we realized we need to niche down. So we niched down into the health and fitness professionals niche. And that's basically because we had worked with a fitness trainer, bodybuilder, and we'd worked with some nutrition coaches and wellness coaches. And we were like, we really like working with these people. They're making a change in the world. They're very positive people. And we want to continue with that. And we want to kind of like just be the behind the scenes people that help them do what they do best. And so that's where we landed.
Wow. That's a really important story, I think, for people who are in the marketing business, because I've got a lot of people with similar stories, and finding their niche and being willing to say no to certain clients and to stick with certain clients
really is a key element of simplifying the business and allowing it to scale. So that was a smart strategic move early on. So what was your business like before you heard about Work the System, Sam's book? Can you describe that for us?
Yeah, I have always been like a time management like nerd. Like I love that kind of stuff. And so systems kind of come naturally to me. I do a lot of work with Lego. I love Lego. That's like my hobby. And so I understand the whole systems building and the creativity and doing it within a structure and whatnot. But I felt like something was like missing. Like I'm doing this. I think my biggest struggle is how do I get my team on board? Right. I understand it. I understand how to build the systems and put things together. I wasn't doing it at the highest level possible that I could be. I was doing it more internally for me. Like I've built my own processes. This is how I do it. Uh-huh. But translating that and getting my team on board, that was a different story. So before we did the work system coaching, I was kind of like, I'd dictate to my team, hey, I need this done. And it would come back and I'd be like, that's not quite how I wanted it done. It's done, but it's not. We're missing this. Or we a lot of quality assurance things that I'd end up having to go and repeat what a contractor would do. And it was very frustrating. I decided to take the leap into work system coaching because I was like, I read the book and I was like, I know I'm missing something here. I understand the systems, but I'm having a really hard time with communication with my team. Mm-hmm. And so obviously we went through 16 weeks of coaching, I believe, Josh. And
4 months. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So, and what I really, really got out of it was that the system provides, when you have that system, you have that framework in there, that is basically the communication amongst your team. One thing that we really struggled with was at the end of the day is I don't know what my team has produced. We all work remotely. Mm-hmm. So, and we have one stand-up meeting in the morning where we communicate face-to-face, through our Zoom on our computers. And then we have Slack where we, you know, the one-off quick emergency type things. And then obviously email for everything else. And at the end of the day, I was realizing I don't fully know what my team has produced. We don't have a system for that, for closing that communication loop. Mm-hmm. We don't have a system for just us without me having to nag them all day long. What are you doing? What are you working on? Which is not very productive for anybody. I just didn't have that in place. And so one of the things that we really got out of the coaching was we built a framework and a structure for communication amongst ourselves so that at the end of the day, we have a board set up. We use Teamwork Projects. We have a board set up in Teamwork Projects. And beginning of the day, we put things on the board. And throughout the day, we move them across to do, doing, done, or stuck. And I have a status at all times. I just open that board and I'm like, oh, okay, this got done. This one's waiting on a customer. This one is mm-hmm. In process. So I have that level of comfort of, okay, everything's on track. There's no fires. We're good.
Yeah, and I would say, for those watching this, I mean, Gretchen, you definitely had the ability to make really high quality systems right from the beginning. And that's unique. Most entrepreneurs have a lot of trouble with that. We have to get involved their team and building this. The opposite was in your case was that you got it. And it was, how do we take this strategy, mindset, philosophy, principles to the team so that they can buy in and be a part of this instead of you just trying to dictate it, like you said. So I'm sure that was difficult. How did you go about doing that?
I started by building out the system the way I wanted to. We actually just started very simple in Google Docs. I'm just like, dump everything into Google Docs. We all share that. We all know how it works. We can all edit and whatnot. We started doing that. Then I realized that we're all using Teamwork for managing our tasks and our projects, and we're very heavily invested in that. And I realized they're having to take that extra click to go over to Google Doc, which doesn't sound like it's that difficult. And, they just have to click a link and there's the process. Yep. But I found that we had basically I dumped things into documents and the process would be like 10 pages long. Nobody's going to read that. Right. So we went back and I broke the task down into more manageable chunks. And so it wasn't like, hey, you have this one task and it's going to take you 4 hours. Go. Uh-huh. It was, okay, you have one task, it will take 4 hours, but the first step will take you 15 minutes. The second step will take you 30 minutes. And we broke it down. And then I took that process document and I chipped out just the pieces that applied to those little bitty steps. And I broke it down in a way that made it very easy for them to open the description of the task. And there's the process. No clicking out to Google Docs. No, uh-huh. It's very simple. And also, I didn't realize this at the time, but later I realized that because we log our time through Teamwork in the same manner, there I can now physically see if my estimates on those time on those tasks actually match up with the time that they log on it. So if they have a task and it says, hey, this should take you 30 minutes, and I see that every time they do it, they're logging 60 minutes, my estimate's wrong, or the process has a snag in it I'm not aware of. So it has helped us to fix a lot of inefficiencies in our business.
That's great. Well, I think that's a couple of big things there is entrepreneurs are usually just statistically the higher IQ, sharper, can figure things out. And so knowing that if you're going to get an average smart person to do the work, you have to simplify it in as many ways as possible. It's going to really allow you to scale, which you did. Because I remember some of the first procedures, I was like, wow, this is a lot. I mean, this is overwhelming. How to break it down into really usable chunks, which I think is great. And I worked with a few companies recently where that was the thing, is that the owner estimated, well, this will take 10 minutes or this will take 15 minutes. But then when they started tracking the time of their team, they're like, wow, this is taking longer. And that gave them a lot of control. And I think that's a big part of Sam's message, is that you can control the process when you have it documented, then you can start measuring it, which is kind of an advanced module that we get to. Sounds like you're there right now, measuring it. And then once you have the system and you have the measurement, then you can start to marry those two up or hold people accountable or simplify it further or charge more because it costs more to do that particular element of the scope. All right. So that's very cool. So then you have that down there. Any examples of a system that you put into place and had an impact that you could actually see?
Oh yeah, definitely. One of the first systems I put in place was actually the example in the book was something about the bank deposits, I believe, was one of the first examples. And I was like, well, yeah, accounting really does suck up a lot of my time. We're really not at a place where I can outsource that bookkeeping yet. I've got a lot of things that I need to clean up. So I went in that direction of what can I do with accounting? So accounting, consists of things like payroll and paying the bills and all that stuff. And I was spending about 4 hours every Friday just getting our books in order, invoicing clients, paying the bills, doing the payroll, all that stuff, 4 hours every week. So that, that's 16, depending on the month, 16 to 20 hours a month of me just head down doing these books. And I was like, there's got to be a faster, better way to do this. So I realized I don't have to do this every week for starters. I could cut this down and I can maybe do it every other week. So I started doing that. And then I realized, so that obviously cut down on the time there. But then I literally started writing out the process as if, what if we're going to hand this off to somebody? Now I haven't actually handed it off to somebody, but because I wrote the process, as I started writing the process, I realized, well, shoot, I could be doing this before this, and that would save me time because I can be working on that. Like, you have to update your bank accounts online and all that. Well, those bank accounts are updating, which can take 5 to 10 minutes. I can be going and doing this. So why don't I start by updating the bank accounts, then move to this task, then this and this. And by the time I get back to that, I've saved my time. So I literally systematized everything. So it's a checklist. I'm just literally going through the motions and getting it done. And so I've now saved myself about 20 hours a month in terms of how much time it takes me. So I'm getting I do this twice a month, and I've switched. Instead of doing it Fridays, I'm using a different method called Profit First, and they recommend the 10th and the 25th. And so I'm into that rhythm of the 10th and 25th. And now when I sit down to do the finances, it takes me about an hour each of those 2 days. So I went from 20 hours a month down to, it takes me about 2 hours a month. I do 1 hour on the 10th and 1 hour on the 25th. And I just literally goes zip, zip, zip right through that checklist, and everything's done.
That's amazing. That's a huge savings. And I was thinking that you're going to say like 10 minutes of savings or 20 minutes, not that much. That's pretty dramatic. The cool thing about that, and I think people, when you say process improvement, most people think they're doing things, and you thought you were doing things well already. You already thought you were doing it fast. Yeah. But when you actually do go about writing down a system that you're already doing yourself or someone else, now you move from just kind of organically doing it ad hoc to, how do I master this system? And usually there's always improvement gains to be had. Usually it's 5%, 10%, 15%. That was a massive gain. But that's the whole point is, if you're willing to get outside and slightly elevated to look down in your business and see the separate processes and just pick one and say, this is one I do, in this case, every single week, 4 hours a week, that is painful. And how can I do it differently? That was a great story. Now, What about your team? So, I mean, you went through, you built some systems. Did this affect your team in any way?
Yeah, I actually have trained my team now to use the system we have in place for creating processes. So we have a master process list, of course, in a separate spreadsheet. But when they come across a new task, or in our case with digital marketing, stuff changes constantly. Okay, we were doing it this way for Facebook ads previously. Now Facebook's changed their algorithm. Now we got to change this and this. So they understand that when something is different from the process that they see written, that they are to change it immediately, you know, fix it. If they know that, okay, this checkbox changed on the Facebook form, so make sure that you're updating that in the process documentation. They take care of that. They don't have to, there's no bottleneck. There's no them running to me going, oh, hey, this is a problem. I had to stop the whole project. They change it. They fix it. They move on. If it is something that is greater than what they know how to do, or they need my feedback on it, what we do instead of them pestering me all day with questions is we have an issues list in Teamwork, and they just put everything on their issues list. And then we have a weekly meeting on Friday, and we look at that list and say, okay, so this was a problem, or this process didn't quite work. Let's fix it. And then we immediately retool it as needed, so we don't have that problem next time. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, they also, I have given them permission to write their own processes. If they find that there is something that they are doing over and over again, not that they needed permission to do it, but they need to know, hey, write your own process. Don't wait for me. Mm-hmm. I may not get to it. I got a lot on my plate. So they will sit down and say, okay, you know, this is a new thing that we're, a new piece of software that we're using in when we're building websites. So I probably need to write a process around that, so that if another team member comes on board, they're in that communication loop. Again, it's all about communication for me. They're in that communication loop. They know what's happening. And another thing that that helped us with that communication loop was when we have a task written out with a process and there is a problem on it, or a slight change or a variation, because it's software. Sometimes we don't need to change the process, but for that particular client, there's a variation in that process. What I have told them is, hey, leave a comment on that task within Teamwork, and then I immediately get a notification, an email, and then we can have that communication right on the task, right where all the documentation is, so that we're all in the loop and know what's going on. We're not having to refer back to, no, I meant this process, not that one. We're on the same task where the documentation is, and we're all in that communication loop, so that no balls get dropped. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've noticed that this theme of communication has been a kind of a big shift for you. And you recognize that right away. A lot of people, especially online companies that I work with, like yours, they think that, well, we have all these tools. Communication is great because it's fast and I can always access anybody all the time, 24/7, which is true. You know, technology does allow that. But having some clarity about which tool to use, which medium and which time frame for which client, and have rules with those tools. It sounds like that made a difference for you in terms of knowing where each client was at and having total control and clarity of that communication. I'm assuming that reduced the stress level, kind of having that figured out.
Yeah, it does reduce the stress level, because like I said, we were getting to the end of the day, and I do Taekwondo 3 times a week, and I would get to the end of the day and I'd get my uniform on, get in my car, start to drive to class and go, oh crap, I wonder if we did this, or did he follow up with this client, or all these things start popping into my head before I get to class. And you don't want to go to Taekwondo class with all this stuff in your head, because then you won't focus on your class, and that's not good. So I would be calling my business partner on the way to Taekwondo class. Hey, can you put a message in Slack and ask so-and-so if they did this and that, it just became a routine. And I was like, I don't like this routine. She doesn't like this routine. So I said, we got to fix that. And that's when we started really saying, okay, we've got to close that communication loop. We've got to stop that. So now at the end of the day, when it's time for me to check out and go to Taekwondo, I'm like, all right, I take a look at that board. I see what's happening. And I know, okay, this is what got done. This is what hasn't gotten done, but it was promised to get done today. So I might check on that when I get home, or I might see that the board's completely clear and we're all good to go for the day. So. Uh-huh.
That's cool. Maybe, I mean, if you don't already, it sounds like what you need is an operating principle called no open communication loops, like only closed loops.
Yeah. Well, maybe the operating operating principles document was a huge part of explaining to my team how I want them to write the tasks and what goes into building a task. Because a task needs to be assigned to one person and one person only. Mm-hmm. It needs to be, it needs to have a time estimate on it. It needs to have a process when there's no like obvious process with the task. So we had some very specific guidelines about how we enter our tasks into teamwork, because obviously if you put in a task that doesn't have a time estimate and you hand it off to some contractor and you're thinking, oh, he'll get it done in 15 minutes, and 2 hours later he sends you a bill for 2 hours worth of work, and it's like, ah, okay, there, I didn't set that expectation. So the way we write our tasks sets the expectation for how we want that task to be executed. Mm-hmm. So that eliminates those surprises of, oh, you know, we just gave you an open-ended window of time to do whatever you want, and we were really only expecting to pay for 30 minutes of work.
Wow. So just to wrap up, I could talk to you about a lot of these systems you built here, but so you started off, let's just say maybe 9 months ago when we first met, I don't even know when, and your company was at a certain place. What would you say would be the biggest changes now? I mean, what is it that the quality is a little better with your clients? Is it because it's a little faster? Is there higher margin now because there's less rework? I mean, what have been the tangible changes?
Sure. I would say, yeah, higher margin is definitely one of the things that we've noticed, because we are able to deliver things in a much more efficient manner, and there is no extra, you know, rework. Mm-hmm. That's been one of the bigger pieces. Communication, obviously, since mm-hmm. I've said that over and over, communication is huge for us. And I mean, just time savings. I've just noticed that because we've systematized things and we're able to put things into, I've been grouping things into buckets so that mm-hmm. we have this, instead of ping-ponging back and forth all day long over, okay, now I'm doing development. Nope, now I'm responding to client. Oh, now I'm going to sales meeting. I have put that in, we have systematized our buckets of work so that I have certain days and certain afternoons where this is when I do development. This is when I'm doing sales calls, or this is when I'm, you know, building our sales funnels, or this or that. So we have very specific blocks of time. And we're even to the point now where my business partner and I used to be on sales calls together all the time. And there's two of us. So that's basically double the manpower for one sales call. And we don't even know if we're going to close the deal. Those are usually just, you know, those are cold leads that come in from Facebook. They want to book time with us. We don't even know if that's going to turn into anything. And there's two of us that's taking up our time. So I automated that entire process so that literally my business partner just has to show up for the meeting and she takes care of it. I don't even get notified. I don't even know when she has them. I know there's certain days of the week and certain time slots that she has them, but they're on her calendar. They don't come into my inbox. And so that frees my afternoons up to be working on more strategic work. Or if the lead looks like it's going to be more fit, a better fit for me, sometimes I'll take those calls. But that has also been a huge shift for us of separating. I'm the left brain, she's the right brain. So we're almost always together. That's literally like our magic is the left brain, right brain approach, because she designs, I develop. So that's clearly left brain, right brain activities. And it works very well for strategy, but in those initial calls, we're not really doing a whole lot of strategy. We're literally just trying to get an idea whether we're a good fit for you or not. So it didn't make sense for me to be in those calls. And so we've made that shift, and it's just huge time savings for us. And I can tell you this much, we are literally at a point where I'm kind of exhausted today because we have, we're growing so fast that I'm able to see immediately too, that it puts pressure on your systems when you start to grow. And I'm really seeing, okay, we need to make this system more efficient, or, hey, we're spending too much time here. We need to condense this down or remove this activity or so on. So so scaling up and all that pressure is actually really showing us if there is a hole in our system, it's going to come up right away and we're able to fix it. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, very cool. That's great. Well, congratulations on doing that. And obviously for those watching this, Gretchen is, you know, kind of the exception to the norm. She put in a lot of work and is getting really good results, but it's not like it was, you know, hope and pray that the results happen. You really put in the hard work into your systems and you believed in it, your teams believed in it, and you're actually getting the results. And as you get these systems tighter, growth will be less and less painful and actually more and more enjoyable.
Right,
that's exciting. Yeah. I'm excited for you. So one last question before we sign off here. So what advice would you give someone who, you know, is new to work the system? They just heard about the book. They're thinking about signing up for one of the coaching programs. What kind of advice would you give them?
I would say go for it, because even though like I came into it with a lot of knowledge and understanding, I was missing the big picture of how do I put this all together? You know, if, especially if you're the kind of if you are like me and you have a lot of like personal systems and task management and you're very good at managing your personal life, it's a whole different ballgame when you have to manage it within a business and get other people on board and make sure they're a good fit and they're following. So that's the biggest piece that I got out of the coaching. And if you're just starting out with this, you haven't maybe just read the book and you're like trying to figure out what do I do about, you know, writing a process, I would encourage you to go ahead and write the process. It's not going to be perfect the first time. Mine were never perfect the first time I wrote them, but they got us started and I gain a little bit of traction, and then we make a little revision and we gain a little more traction, and we just keep going and keep refining them and keep tweaking them until pretty soon we're smooth sailing. And like I said, we're growing and expanding, and that's I can attribute that in part to really just taking the time to start and build the systems, and then continually revising them until we get them to where they're as fast as they can possibly be.
Very good. Well, perfect advice. Thanks, Gretchen. I appreciate it. And thanks everybody for watching, and I'll talk to you next time.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Gretchen of Left Right Labs. She certainly had some great tips for all those of you with virtual businesses, you know, very detailed tips. But those of you with traditional businesses can take the same mindset, the same concepts, and apply them. And one of the bottlenecks that I think a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck on is this idea of systemizing complex things and then handing them down and realizing they're still complex. And so they have to take them to a level further, make them even more simple, more bite-sized chunks, and then the team can really start to burn through them, and you can hold them accountable because there's a clear start and a clear ending. And so she did a great job with identifying where she was having leakage, right, in terms of time and money, and being able to hold her team more tightly accountable, which I think is great. The other point that I want to make at the end here is that a lot of people who listen to this podcast, a lot of my clients, feel like they're just out of time. They don't have time to put into their business and to grow their business. And hopefully this example shows you that applying yourself to the systems is going to make you more time, you know, more margin for you, time and money, and then that's going to lead naturally to growth. Growth that's controlled, that's highly profitable, and that's scalable, not growth that is out of control. So big shift, big structural shift. I'm excited to see how her company grows in the coming years. Well, make sure to stay tuned to the next podcast next week, where I'll be sharing an example, another client like Gretchen, or possibly another business expert sharing a tool, technique, or resource that is going to allow you to grow your business so that you can make more and work less. Thanks, everybody.